So, I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's other people that I come across. But does anyone here have the habit of thinking only about the worst possible outcomes? And then feeling paralysed with fear because of what might happen, even though it hasn't yet happened. I do that sometimes. I know other people do that sometimes. It's quite a paralysing kind of thing. I think probably quite a few of us do it. It's like, have you ever, you know, something's been slightly wrong with you and you've gone onto Google and you've got the AI diagnosing whatever, you know, immediately you discover that you are literally at death's door. Well, you're not. But of course, they give you the worst possible outcome, don't they? We actually institutionalise this kind of thinking, this kind of thinking of the worst. We have the fire risk assessment, just in case lightning strikes. We have the hygiene risk assessment, just in case the deadly pestilence comes our way. We have slips, trips and falls risk assessments, in case we step into the fowler's snare from the psalm. And with Martin's Law coming in fairly soon, we're going to need a terror attack risk assessment, just in case. Where in each case we are encouraged to analyse the worst possible outcomes. It's depending on your cultural references, it's a bit like the cover of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or the words of Captain Mannering. Depending on your age, you know, what kind of things you're thinking about. Don't panic! Which immediately induces the panic that we're trying to avoid. But does life have to be like this? Right? We all operate like this at one level or another, don't we? Does life have to be like this? The premise from the psalm is obvious, but it's not so obvious. Verses 1 and 2, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That sense of peace and protection because we trust God. Is that your experience? I imagine we'll be thinking, yes, sometimes, but sometimes not quite so much. But the psalm is realistic about the troubles of this world. We go on in verses 3 and 4. The psalm says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. The psalmist is trying to be realistic. Troubles will come along in this life. We all know that. Troubles come along in this life. But the psalmist is saying, don't panic. God will rescue you. Is that your experience? Again, we're going to be mixed, aren't we? We're going to be sometimes, we pray and amazing things happen and God rescues. And sometimes he doesn't. And we need to be realistic about that. In verses 5 through 8, as those who trust in God, the psalmist seems to be saying, the troubles of this world can get lost because you're going to be immune from them. Really? Really? Verses 5 through 8, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now, by this stage, it doesn't really seem to be our experience at all, does it? Christians just are not immune from the problems of this world. So what's the psalmist going on about? Is it sort of wishful thinking, or is there more to it than that? Because in verses 9 and 10, the psalmist doubles down. Still really not our experience. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. What are we to make of this? Should we be a little bit more prosperity gospel than we are? Name it and claim it. Lord, you promised in Psalm 91, therefore I believe I have it. And have this kind of unrealistic kind of the problems of this world don't touch me, even though they really do, kind of attitude. Or believe that we are not troubled by the world, despite strong evidence to the contrary, because we know we all are. But then you get to verses 11 through 13. And suddenly those verses are hinting at a slightly different meaning, which begins to make sense of all this. So first in verses 11 and 12, it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Anyone recognize where these verses are quoted in other parts of the Bible? Anyone know? Steve, there we are, when Jesus is getting tempted in the wilderness, from Jesus' temptations. Actually, this is the scripture that the devil uses to quote at Jesus to test him, when tempting him to test God by throwing himself down from the highest point of the temple, where Jesus responds that we should not put the Lord our God to the test. But the point is that when we read the Psalms, we read them with the hindsight of Jesus, right? These verses in the psalm were used to test Jesus. God will protect you. God will protect you. Everything will be all right. And Jesus is saying, no, we don't put the Lord our God to the test. That the verses are highly prophetic. They are pointing us towards a slightly different meaning. Suddenly we have a hint that this psalm is less about the ordinary everyday lives that you and me live, trusting in God for this life's challenges. But they are about the ultimate kind of trust in God that only Jesus could have. Only Jesus was both completely human and completely divine. Only he could have that kind of complete 100% trust in God. The way Jesus trusts in God. Hold that thought. This psalm is bigger than your and mine everyday troubles. This psalm is about ultimate trust in God. Because there's another really important verse here. It's verse 13. A different kind of idea, but again, that kind of prophetic idea. An idea about the ultimate defeat of evil, which of course is what Jesus achieves on the cross. Death of our most powerful enemies depicted in animal forms. So that verse says, "You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." And it's ideas about the people of God overcoming the lure of evil that come to mind when we think about these verses. Because later on, Revelation 12, verses 9 and verse 11, it says, "The great dragon was hurled down." We're talking about the devil, the work of the devil in the world. "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient snake called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." And then it goes on to talk about not only Jesus, but the people of God. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And again, it is pointing us. When we pick up the hints in the psalm that point forward prophetically, it begins to show us about the ultimate hope that it's talking about. It becomes not about the everyday of this life, but about the ultimate protection God offers us in his heavenly kingdom. So we have this idea that the psalm is telling us that God will offer total protection to fulfill his plans. There's a sense in which Jesus came to earth. He was a tiny baby at Christmas. He was sacrificed on the cross at Easter. But Jesus was totally protected by God from any prior disaster or accident or childhood illness. Nothing could touch him until he was surrendered to the cross in fulfillment of God's plans. And even then, knowing that death could not hold him, he was ultimately protected because he rose victorious from the grave and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. It's this kind of protection that the psalm is offering us, right? It's not offering us, "I got sick, will God make me well?" Yes, that often happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. But actually, our hope is more ultimate than that. The kind of protection that is discussed by Jesus when talking about those who would oppose him. Those who would oppose him, those who would oppose his followers and his gospel. So from Matthew chapter 10, these are Jesus' words. He says of the people who will oppose those who follow him, do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And of course, what Jesus is meaning is that when we have the ultimate hope of being part of God's kingdom, of being invited to our heavenly home, actually at that point we can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus was ultimately safe. He got crucified. Ultimately, he was safe. Christians too are ultimately safe. Safe in God's care, safe in a heavenly sense. No one can take that from you. There is not one person on earth who can take that from you. But see how that idea changes our perspective on today. You know, as we face troubles in this life, actually, because we have the ultimate hope of heaven, it changes our approach to living today. There is a sense in which we can be holy risk takers. Think of people who are missionaries or martyrs. They are very much a part of our Christian tradition. People who are not afraid to take a risk with this life because they know that there is an eternal heavenly one ahead. Think of people who are facing aging or disease and ultimately death, all of us. But we can face it hopefully because we know that we are safe in God's care. This life is not it. This life is like a shadow compared to what is to come. Think of people who can stand up for what we believe in, even in the face of any kind of opposition today. We know that our society is not always like, yeah, the Christians. Sometimes they're quite the opposite to that. But actually we can stand up for what we believe because we know ultimately we are safe in God's care. So the idea is that because of the ultimate protection God offers us, actually the protection we seek in the moment, right now, is ours as well. You may not often get caught in a fowler's snare or a deadly pestilence. Now, I suppose with COVID and things, that's more possible these days. But if you do get caught in that situation, don't panic. Ultimately, in a heavenly sense, you are just as secure in God's care as ever you were. This life is short and troubled anyway. That life is eternal and perfect. And of course, we get to live this life like people with that goal in mind. It changes. It changes the way we live and think. My response here in my notes is, hallelujah. Because, of course, we get to live with the hope of heaven that so many people don't get to live with. And the psalmist seems to agree. The final verses of the psalm from 11 to 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long, we might say eternal, life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And of course, that's the ultimate sense, isn't it? Showing us the salvation of God so we can live secure in his care. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the ultimate sense in which you offer us absolute protection, care, and security. Lord, help us to live our lives today and every day, knowing that no one can take that away from us, because you are Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.